Our new psalm of the month is Psalm 50, and I'll read that. We sang the first portion of it already. I'd like to read it in its entirety. Listen to God's word. Psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. The fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the field is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Psalm 50 describes God as a great and mighty judge, and a judge who is calling his own people to account for a very specific reason. That reason was that their worship was empty. They went through the motions and had all of the parts of ritual worship, but their hearts were not in it. They were merely going through an outward show of religion. And for this meditation, I want to focus on this correction that God gives about worship. I do so because worship is something we continue to practice. The psalm is set in an Old Testament context, and you'll find it very meaningful as God gives this correction, meaningful in a way that will lead us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The psalm starts by introducing God as the judge, describing him as coming out of Zion as a raging fire, calling his people before him to hear their judgment. And again, the reason was that the Old Testament church was not worshiping God as they ought to. And God in this passage notes that they were very faithful in coming and offering sacrifices at the temple. Each and every day they were fulfilling that duty. They were technically coming and worshiping God. But God says something very interesting here. He says, I don't need these animal sacrifices. What I desire is your sincere worship. I don't need these animals. In fact, all of them already belong to me. Verse 10 is is actually very well known. We like to talk about God owning the cattle on a thousand hills. Usually when I hear that verse, it's people are applying that to the generosity of God. The Lord owns all of these things. He will provide what you need. And that is true, but that's not what this context is about. God is saying that the beasts of the field, the bulls, the goats of offerings, the birds of the mountains, the cattle on a thousand hills, I already own these things. You do not need to give them to me in your sacrifice. What I want is your heartfelt, sincere worship. See, the children of Israel thought that if they did everything, quote unquote, right, that God would be pleased. If they did everything right on the externals, that God would be pleased. And all along, their hearts were far from God. And this comes through in this passage in two ways. First, in verses 14 and 15, God tells the type of worship that he wants. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Now, in these verses, God is not setting aside the outward worship of sacrifices, which was something he had given, but instead he is driving them to recognize that genuine worship is worship that involves humility and sincerity. It speaks of thanksgiving, of paying vows, of crying out with genuine need in time of trouble. This is heartfelt worship that honors the Lord. The second way that this comes up is that in verses 16 through 21, God brings out evidence that the heart was far removed from God. The wicked, he says, worship outwardly and may even do so with precision and regularity, but then they leave church, as it were, and live as if they don't even know who God is. How do they live? They give themselves to thieving and adultery and lying and slander and so on. It's as if they would say, I do my duty at church, and then I live as I please the rest of the week. God came and rebuked this type of heartless worship. Jesus gave a very similar rebuke in the New Testament. The Pharisees, too, were zealously concerned with the outward appearance. But Jesus compared them to whitewashed graves. On the outside, they were clean and neat, but on the inside, they were full of decay and death. And so Jesus came revealing that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. What a beautiful call to worship that is. The Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus goes on, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. From this psalm, and as we meditate on it this month, I do pray that we would learn what God wants in worship. We are careful in our worship to do what God commands, and rightfully so. We can't come before God in our own rights or in our own inventions. We are careful in how we worship, but it's not about the externals. Don't make the mistake of the Pharisees. God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So I pray that our worship would be heartfelt, that it would be sincere, it would be full of humility, recognizing our God who saves us. We're going to continue to sing that psalm. We'll be using the B selection throughout the month. And this portion of the psalm, it describes that charge of God for his people not worshiping him well, and then speaks of what God desires. Let's stand and sing Psalm 50, Selection B.